In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, a quick update on, I guess this is the closest thing to an update, on Jalen Petrie. This is D'Amico Ryans on the coach's show earlier this week. This is the most definitive thing we've gotten out of the team so far. A reminder, they're back at practice today, so we'll get an injury report today, which I would expect to have Petrie as a did not participate shoulder is what that's going to say probably. But here's D'Amico on his coach's show.
Jalen will be out for a couple weeks with a shoulder injury. Man, it's a gut punch to me. He's a guy that he did so much for me defensively, and what I was able to call, what I was able to do, just with the different things that he was able to do, whether it's blitzing or covering, like fitting in the run, like being a nickel and being able to fit in the run fit. The way he fits in a run fit is just you don't see that much. Yeah. Most people are trying to keep him out of the run fit, but I'm trying to get Jalen into the action as much as possible. He's just been such a dynamic playmaker for us all throughout the year. Yeah. So, yeah, we had to pick up the slack there. It's going to be tough. Yep. That's because how active he was and, you know, just how instrumental he was to just how our scheme started to shift and change throughout the year. So we'll pick it up. We'll pick it up and try to hold it down for him as long as he needs to be out. But, man, praying for Jalen to have a speedy recovery.
Two things about that. One was that I choose to read into that relatively optimistically because D'Amico said he's going to be out for at least a couple of weeks. If we look at the center for the Lions, Frank Ragnow, who's been playing on a partially torn pec all season long, he missed 2 weeks. One of them was a bye week. So I think this is very, if you're going to figure out whether Petrie can play through this or not, certainly keep him out this week, assess during the bye week, and then make that decision sometime then. And depending on what Jalen Petrie's second opinion is, et cetera, et cetera. It's not out of the realm of possibilities that he plays. So there's that. The other part is, man, is D'Amico's talking about how good it is to be able to have Jalen Petrie do what he does in the run game as well. Because he's basically playing linebacker a lot of the time.
Yes, he is. Yep.
You know? Where's Christian Harris, and does he come back, and what's he look like when he comes back? Because that at least, man, that could end up being a nice little flavor change at the end of the season that teams don't have film on. Yeah. And if you got Azeez Elshire, Christian Harris, Henry Toa, Devin White, all those guys out there as linebackers potentially, then, yeah, that can add a wrinkle that could work out for you and maybe make up for some of the loss of Jalen Petrie. But the other part on the loss of Jalen Petrie is, hey, all right, there were times where they had him playing slot corner against good receivers and we didn't feel good about it. Mm-hmm. Well, now you're going to have the same situation where you've got Jimmy Ward covering guys in the slot and you don't feel great about the matchup, but then you've got a worse safety behind you because Jimmy Ward's not playing safety anymore.
Yeah.
That's the part that's really tough with or without Christian Harris. But at least if, let's say Jalen Petrie can't come back, man, if they can get Christian Harris back at some point, that's hopefully a big boost, but we don't know how he's going to look, what kind of shape he's in, all that.
That would be something, man. Like, if just out of nowhere today we got a Christian Harris's practice window has been open, because that's how these things go, is they allow them back at practice. You know, he won't be activated yet. You got to see how he looks in practice. You got 21 days of being being allowed to practice with the team, and then after 21 days, the team's got to you know, bleep or get off the pot with you. And
the one we had one report that he might be back, or they're thinking about week 15
after
right?
the bye. Yeah, that would be the Dolphins game after the bye week. Yes.
Yeah. So there's one more game before possibly Christian Harris news.
Yeah, and honestly,
maybe we get some news at some point, but it doesn't. I'm not looking at anything before that first game back for Christian Harris.
Look, I mean, let's call it what it is. I mean, this Sunday shouldn't be a game where losing Jalen Petrie and not having Christian Harris back is the difference in winning or losing the game. Like, the Texans have plenty of other things that can cause a loss against the Jags. But after that bye week, Miami, and the topic on TV 2 seconds ago, Seth, on First Take was, is Miami in position to salvage their season? They're 5-6 now. Miami had been an afterthought with Tua out because they've been so bad. Like, their backup quarterback, there might not be a worse backup quarterback situation than the one the Dolphins were dealing with without Tua. Like, they had Skylar Thompson and Tim Boyle and just this Snoop Huntley. Like, it was bad. It was real bad in Miami. They got Tua back now, and that offense is clicking these last few games. And so, yeah, like, getting Christian Harris back, any reinforcements you can get back for Miami on the Miami week 15, 6 days later, the Chiefs, and then 4 days after that, the Ravens.
What's,
God, they got to win this Sunday, man. Dude, they have to win this game.
No. If they lose, look, I feel this Titans game was one where, man, opinions, the scale flipped definitively to, pessimism, extreme panic, all of that. Losing to the Titans in the way that they lost. It was not a flukish loss.
Right.
They got beat by the Titans.
Yep.
And they're feeling... credit to just about everybody in Houston. I don't know if I've heard a single person say, well, you know, Kaimi missed a 28-yard field goal. No, because A, we've seen Kaimi miss point-blank field goals already this season. And B, you got physically destroyed in too many places to ever feel like, versus a 2-win football team, that one just got away. Even if you had won that game, if Kaimi had somehow figured out a way to kick a 28-yard field goal and then you ended up winning after it got tied up, we would probably be pretty much at the same level of panic given the way the rest of that game went.
No, you're right. In the big picture, nobody brought up Kaimi. And then to take it to maybe even a more micro level, nobody was blaming Kaimi either after the game. And I'm going based off of post-game show.
Yeah.
You know, we get the immediate temperature of people, especially leaving the stadium and whatnot. There wasn't a single phone call that we got talking about Kaimi Fairbairn missing a 28-yard field goal. And that's how it should be for a couple of reasons. One, I know Kaimi's been a little shakier of late, but Kaimi has far and away been one of the reasons why you're 7-5 as opposed to 5-7 this season. You know, like he's been by and large very, very good, especially from distance. Even the one long one that he missed, the 58-yarder at the end of the Detroit game, you know, that was John Weeks had a high snap on that one, which Weeks took ownership of. But the other thing I would say about Kaimi missing the field goal too is and to the point where I think the fans are smart about this, that wasn't why you lost that game. There were 10 other there were 15 other dumb things the team did in that game that caused the Titans to be able to take that thing.
I thought Clint put it so well in the post game when he said, hey, you know, when you point to, well, the Texans have made mistakes in critical situations that have hurt them, Clint made a really good point, which is, well, of course they have, because they make those same mistakes in other situations. So it's not like they are a glisteningly clean operation and then all of a sudden they choke up in the moment.
Right.
No, it's when you commit as many penalties as they do, when you make as many mental errors, when you flat out get beat physically as much as you do, yeah, it's going to show up in critical situations too. So the missed 28-yard field goal does not, there's no part of anybody, I don't think, who's been following the Texans who thought, oh boy, they just bad luck on that one.
Right.
If it were against the Lions or somebody like that, then I would spot you it, but not versus the Titans.
This will be one of those games this Sunday, Seth, that if they win the game, I think people are just going into the bye week with a sigh of relief. Like, okay, I mean, it's a team with a lot of issues and they're 8-5 right now. You know, like that's how I'll feel. Depending on how the game looks, you know, like if it looks like a conventional, if it looks like every other win over the Jags in Jacksonville the last few years where the Texans, You know, like last year, they beat him by 20 there in week three. That was D'Amico's first win as head coach. They go there and take care of business. I'll be like, okay, you know, I feel good going into the bye week. And boy, do they have a tough menu coming out of the bye week. If they lose this game, then all this playing down to the level of competition talk, oh, how do they play down to the – I forget about the records. If you're 2-5 in your last seven games,
right,
you're not playing down to the level of anybody. You are that level. That you are,
you know,
those
what you
teams.
Do? You know what you do? You go back and you say, wow, the Lions really played down to their level of competition.
That's exactly
wow.
right. Yes.
The Green Bay really played down to the level of competition. You start to worry, you wonder about some of those teams, like, oh, wow, they just don't seem to be as consistently good as
well, that. I'll point out that the Texans were +3 in turnover margin in both of those
right.
games, and they lost them, and that is the quintessential played down to. When you lose the turnover battle, but you still find a way to win the game, you have played
yeah.
down to the level of your competition.
You got, in hindsight, you go into that game, and if you think about the Texans as a bad team,
yeah.
what you're a mediocre team, what you'd say is, okay, the one thing that could hurt us is this opportunistic Texans defense,
right.
and we let them do it. You know,
yeah.
if all we had done is just not turned the ball over,
yes.
probably would have beat the Texans by 20 points.
Yep.
So they played down to the competition in that regard.
Yep, they sure did. All right. Hey, we'll get to the one move each AFC team should have made. Pro Football Focus had a piece on that. I've not looked at it yet. I'm going to try to guess. Seth's seen it. I'm going to try to guess it. I'm going to narrow down this the honeymoon is over moment here down to a few. And I might put up a poll on this thing. But I think there's a few instances this season that have separated themselves on the text page as to when Texan fans, their mood turned significantly with their relationship with this team. We'll go to the 5-Hour Energy fan line for that, and that's all coming up next.